call to order the Pacific City Joint Water and Sanitary Authority Board of Directors special meeting. It is March 23rd of 2021, and we are in a video conference call. I'll call the roll. Ann Price.
Here.
Cameron Gogas.
Here.
Tom Donahue.
Here.
Don Carlton. Don, I can see you. You're here. Right. For the record, all directors are present. Item 3 on our agenda, the AMR contract. Michelle and I conferenced with NOAA this week, so we have a number of things to share with you. This is a staff update. So, Michelle, do you want to tell, you've had a conversation with the contractor, and what's our plan on pursuing the rest of the contract, and have we had any additional issues?
No additional issues.
Your mic's not on.
Sorry. We've had no additional issues. The meter lids were delivered to Portland yesterday. They should be here tomorrow or Thursday. The contractor had permission to go to another job, or told Kirk that he had another job. He will be back after the 1st of April, which is good timing for us because we've got meter readings this week and next week. So he'll be back after the 1st of April to install and hook up all of the radios to the rest of the meters that need new lids. That's the schedule.
Okay. Our discussion with NOAA was about a couple of things. We have three issues outstanding with this contractor. The first issue is regarding the locks. And as you know, in installation of the new meters, many of the locks were cut off by the contractor. At that point, our past authority manager was the agent of the authority, and according to the contractor, he had permission to cut off those locks. And in that process, one would look to see if that invoice that was part of that lock cutting would be had been approved or not. And yes, our authority manager had approved that invoice that came through. And NOAA said that since the way that the contract was written, and that there would be no way that we could prove that the contractor hadn't been told that he could cut off the locks, that it would not be prudent for us to proceed any action against the contractor, and therefore it would be our responsibility to deal with the lock issue. Any questions on that particular issue from the board? Tom?
This opinion came from who?
From Noah Jarrett at Schwab ER Legal Counsel.
Thank you.
So, where do we go from there, Carolyn?
With regards to the locks?
Yes.
We'll have to replace them per our policy. And
on our dime?
On our dime. Yes, Sean? Could you turn your mic on?
No,
can't hear you yet, Sean. Nope.
How about now?
Yes.
All right.
Fucking nightmare. Could Michelle or Rochelle send the board of the current policy on having locks on meters?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
So, what's your thought, Sean? Do you think we should have the locks on them?
Well, I'd like to see what our current policy is. I have a problem with spending $11,000 replacing locks that shouldn't have been cut off in the first place. I agree that there's nothing we can do with the contractor, but I have a problem with it. So I'd like to see the policy and then, you know, take a look and see if whether or not the policy needs to change.
So basically, wasn't that kind of the theory that everybody wasn't to use their meter as their on and off valve and were suggested to get their own lever? That's what we went with, wasn't it?
Yep.
I think part of that too, Cameron, was that without the locks, when customers attempted to use the meter as their personal shutoff valve and then ended up breaking the meter, it was difficult for them to understand why they had to pay so much to replace that meter. And some people were very upset that was the situation we were in, and I believe we figured it was more cost effective to put the locks on and to prevent that from happening than to get into a dispute in terms of whose fault it was that the meter got broken. Tom, did you have an additional comment?
No, I didn't have any.
Michelle, do you want to add anything about that policy at this point?
No, I'll get a copy to everybody right away.
All right, thank you. The second issue with regards to the AMR project is we have a customer that suffered damage because their locked off meter was left in the on position. And we discussed that particular issue with NOAA. We are of the understanding that paragraph 10 in the contract addresses that issue. So we are waiting for the adjuster of the insurance adjuster for the customer to give us the correct information, and then we will forward that to the contractor and expect that the contractor will resolve that issue. The third piece of the... Okay, Sean, excuse me.
How much have we heard from customers in terms of issues coming up in regards to replacing the meters? Because I've heard from a lot of people. I'm curious as to how many issues we had from customers with that meter replacement.
When you say issues, Sean, what do you mean? You mean like leaks or those kinds of things, or what are you?
Leaks, lock off that was left on, maybe perhaps differences in pressure between the old meter and the new meter. Those are the things I've heard about.
So some of those issues that we have, we're still collecting information on, and NOAA asked that we collect that information. At this point, the contract doesn't have a back charge paragraph or a retainage paragraph, but we're working on those issues with NOAA at this point. Michelle, do you want to add to that in terms of how many there are?
Sure. There was probably, we're talking about 300,000 gallons of water that left from four homes that I know, and we got called out maybe eight times for water that was left off that should have been turned on. We had 32 meters that were originally not installed that they had to come back and do. There was a lot of complaints about garbage left in customers' yards. So there was a fair amount of complaints for 1,100 meters.
We have, is there any ongoing issues still, or are we?
No.
Okay.
No. Except the loss of property, and they really, according to Rochelle, are not concerned. It was their basement. It was a small area. They haven't returned our phone calls. They're out of the country right now. So I'm not sure when we'll hear from them.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions on the AMR project at this point? All right, item 3B, Horn Creek Internet. Michelle, do you want to give us an update on that?
Sure. After maybe 6 or 7 more phone calls through CenturyLink system, I finally found a woman that gave me the name of the regional manager. He's in Colorado. I called him last week. He called me back yesterday. We talked about the situation, talked about several things and my complaints about not being able to get the correct answers and what system we have and how we could be upgraded. He assured me this morning that they could have somebody out here next week, that we could get an upgrade to at least 6 megabytes. That's 4.5 times more than we have now. I've talked to Global several times. They think that that will pass for now. I also received a new modem. I talked to them, Sean, about getting an outside modem. They suggested we not do that since we were going through CenturyLink until after we got the 6 megabytes and if we were not satisfied to do it then because they're so inexpensive.
Okay. Cameron?
Yeah, Michelle, how much would it be for charges to bump it up to that?
It will go from $39.99 a month to $99.99 a month.
Any other questions? Well, it sounds at this point that if we can get that 6 megs at $99 a month, that that's probably a good option at this point, given that we were looking at trying to put in a line and also a higher fee per month. But we know that it won't, that in the future we're going to probably need more than 6 megs in order to keep operational issues moving forward out there. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
So it's like a standardized is what they need to get the information back and forth.
Correct.
I think one of the things that happens is the computer systems have more security and more pieces in place to prevent viruses. My understanding is that can slow down speed coming through, and so we are, I would expect, going to be in need of fiber optic out there at some time within the next couple of years in order to maintain our communications with our experts that help keep that system running appropriately.
Well, who's to say that, you know, down a year down the road, we're going to be in the same problem with the more usage of what we're getting down here in our area, correct? I mean,
Cameron, I didn't understand your question.
Well, I thought it was more the usage of that we were getting from more people and stuff using the internet, that it kind of slowed us down in a way that we're not fast enough. What's to say that the more usage that we get down the road, that we're not going to be back to a slower gigabyte or 6? So
I think you're probably right on that with CenturyLink, which is why we would be exploring fiber optic, which then doesn't have that issue.
So they'd have to dig in the line, bury a cable?
No. Michelle?
No, we already have conduit that runs from the Old Woods Road all the way to the Horn Creek building. So when we bring the fiber optics in, we were prepared. So we knew that at some point it might happen. So we have an open line there.
Oh, okay.
John?
Michelle, that was, when you were talking last time about whatever it was, I can't remember, Lightwave or whoever it was, that was that for a fiber service?
Yes, Coastcom It was $415 a month for fiber optics.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh.
And that's after the line gets installed.
They weren't going to charge us for that.
Okay.
But they shouldn't for that amount of money.
Well, the fee for hookup to fiber optic in most places for businesses that it's not widespread is fairly expensive.
Yeah.
I think the hookup at the office was quite pricey when it was first done.
Mm-hmm.
What do we pay for that?
I'm looking at Michelle.
I could separate it out, but all together we pay about $700 a month.
That includes all of our phone service.
Yeah, it includes the phone service too, so I'd have to look at the invoice.
John, you had a question?
Yeah, just one thing to keep in mind. There's probably like a 2-year commitment with CenturyLink if we, you know, upgrade to that 6 megs, so just be cognizant of that.
I think I'd strongly encourage us to ask for forgiveness of the 2-year commitment, given their poor, crappy, their unacceptable service to us. Right. Item 3, Springbrook.
Rochelle and I had 2 classes last week, one on utility billing and one on finance. This week, we have a test system in, and we have until Friday to complete all of our testing of all of the different programs. We're supposed to sign up on Friday. We have a check-in next week with any issues that we may have, and then we'll go back to engineering with it, and we are right on schedule to go live on April 22nd.
Did we get confirmation that the Springbrook, or we can do some version of Springbrook software that works with the new meters?
Yes.
Great.
We are also testing that this week.
Great, thanks.
And how does it seem to be going, Michelle?
So far, so good. Couple of minor little things, a lot of questions. Trying to clean up the old system is harder than you think. I mean, you can bring the new system in and overlay it, but we would like to do some cleanup at the same time. So it's going to be taxing this week.
But it's like doing an engine. You might as well go in there and fix everything while you have it all wide open.
Correct.
Okay.
Sounds good. All right, item 4, current status with the board liaison. Anne?
Yep. Let me get my notes in front of me. We've now had 2 meetings with what I refer to my notes as our lead staff. That's Michelle and Rochelle and Ray and Leonard. There are 2 or 3 things I want to focus on in a report to you all this morning. One has to do with staffing, and our lead staff places the absolute highest priority on proceeding to fill the two positions. Number one is hiring a person with Treatment 3 wastewater certification. That's their highest priority because it'll take some time to complete the hiring process, and the new staff person will need as much time as possible to train with Ray before he leaves. But also seen as very important is to fill the operator in training position that has been vacant for several months, if not years. Can you help me out there, Michelle?
It's actually been vacant for maybe 2 years.
That was what I put in my notes, but I didn't want to say that in case it was way off. So 2 years or more, let's say. And as the lead staff have been performing more training and supervisory duties, they're not quite as easily available to assist with some daily tasks. The to assure everybody, as they assured me, that the work is definitely getting done, but the void in the operator in training position is and has been for quite a while a growing void in the staff ranks. Our former authority manager had on several occasions committed verbally to filling both of these positions from his earliest days at PCJ, but had not actually initiated the hiring process. I'm told, and we had a discussion about the details of some of this, but there's a standard hiring process in place, and it's been used consistently for several years. And their estimate is that it could take 60 days or 60 days plus to complete this hiring process in a good hiring environment. I'm not sure our region nor this industry are experiencing an ideal hiring environment at this time. And since the hiring for both positions had been approved by the former authority manager, I supported the notion that the hiring process should be initiated as soon as possible for both of these positions. So our lead staff is preparing the necessary paperwork for that. The next topic we discussed was the recent characterization of the PCJ workplace as toxic, quote unquote. Our lead staff expressed very, very serious concern about that characterization. And while there may have been some tensions in the past, the staff assures the board and the community that these tensions that existed were not amongst the operations staff itself, and that they continue to function very well together as a team and share a commitment to provide safe, reliable drinking water and wastewater services for the community. So, the third thing that we talked about was the interim authority manager, and I would like to hold my comments on that until, because it's on the agenda for a little bit later, I'd like to have these comments in the context of that later discussion.
Any questions? Cameron.
Yeah. Now, you're saying that we need a treatment-free waste, or is that water?
Wastewater.
Water.
No. I may have misspoken. I meant to say wastewater.
Oh, that's all right. Okay. If Ray's leaving, we need a WW3 earth, or wastewater.
That's what I just said, wastewater, yes.
Oh, that's okay. Right. Oh, yeah. Waste. Okay. And then the operator in training, do we have anybody within the ranks that has been doing any work towards that position?
Michelle, can you field that, please?
Sure. Right. Currently, we have three operators in training.
This is a vacant position that's been on the books for a long time, but has never been filled.
Right.
Cameron, is that what you meant?
Yeah, I was wondering. I thought I thought the way that you had said it, that we were, it was because we're, I mean, the staff has the concerns about the treatment three waste and operator in training, that one position.
Yep. There are two separate positions there, and we need to fill both of them so that we have adequate coverage and resiliency.
So what are we having people that are coverage? I mean, the workload is a lot higher, and we're not filling on-call? Or
Michelle,
Michelle, would you answer that, and then we'll get to Tom?
Sure. When you have no authority manager and you haven't had one that's working out in the field for a very long time, including the past two authority managers, and you have two leads that are working on projects and paperwork and phone calls and purchasing, and supervising and training, you are short-handed, those two people. They cannot physically go out and do the same type of work that they used to do. So this an additional staff member has been needed. We have felt short-staffed for at least 2 years. So we need to get another staff member in the lower ranks to get them trained, as we're training our operators in training right now to become operator ones and operator twos. We need another body.
My question is, do we have any staff now that are trying to get upgrade their certifications to a wastewater 3? Anybody close?
Yes.
Michelle?
Yeah, Leonard Whiteman, who is in water, has been cross-trained, and he will be taking his educational to get his wastewater 3 soon. He has all the certifications he's put in. You have to have so many years before you can go to wastewater 3, and he has, I believe it's the 8 years required, so he can now apply to take the class and take the test.
Okay. Currently, Leonard is our water guy, so what's his cert for water?
He's got several certs for water. There's water distribution, there's water treatment, but he is of the level to sign off on all water documents that we have going out and testing. He also backflow specialist.
Okay, do we have anyone with similar certifications in just water?
No.
For example, if Leonard got his wastewater 3 cert, who's going to fill his spot? Do we have someone that could do that or is ready to?
We probably could put Terry Rand into a similar position with more certifications. He is certified as an operator 1 currently, as Leonard's certified as an operator 2. Michelle, can you help me with that?
I was just going to add that Leonard's not leaving the water position to be a wastewater operator. He can still do that and sign off on those things, even if he has a wastewater certification also.
Right.
And once upon a time, we had a matrix of all of our current staff that showed their various certifications. Is that a document that is up to date that could be emailed to the board?
It could be easily done.
Okay. I think that a lot of the conversation we're getting into is very natural questions about who's in what place and how it works and all that sort of thing. But I also think in terms of personnel responsibilities, that is the purview of the authority manager. So I hesitate to see the board try to go too far down that road, especially at this time when there are issues to be discussed and decided of a larger picture. If we could get that matrix, I think that would answer a lot of the specific questions that are being asked, and then we could, when we solve some of the other issues we're working on, maybe come back to some of this.
Okay.
With an authority manager.
Cameron?
Well, since we're doing this, what about as far as our job descriptions?
What about it?
Are there the job descriptions? I was trying to thumb through my manual to find out if we have job descriptions. Do we have all the job descriptions updated?
Michelle?
Yes. Yes, I would say that's correct. On Leonard's situation, we have it, and Ray's situation recently, we put together their job responsibilities as they are right now. But the actual description to go out to the public for hiring, we do have the wastewater 3 and I'm 99% finished with a water operator, too.
Okay.
Sean?
Just to make sure I'm correct, we have 8 employees, is that right?
That's correct.
And Ray is one of them, and leaving when?
June 30th.
Okay, thank you.
So we have 8 employees and 9 positions, or we have 10 positions? Because I want to include that operator in training, and with the number of positions we have the authority manager is vacant at this point, and the operator in training is vacant.
That would be 10 total.
So we have 10 total positions, mm-hmm. And at this point we have 2 vacancies with 1 additional vacancy coming up. We're involved in a authority manager search that we've just begun on, and the staff is now working on filling the other 2 positions so that we have full staff.
Correct, and they were budgeted for.
All right, thank you. Ann, anything else at this point?
Not at this point, thank you.
All right. Item 4B, gathering the data. The board spoke about gathering data from staff and information to get a better picture on what issues might be or how the authority could continue to improve their practices. And I was instructed to call Ryan and chat with him about this. Ryan and I spoke about his availability and his interest in the project. He is interested in working with us. He is on an extremely tight schedule at this point and couldn't actually be on site until May. He's got a number of investigations that he's involved with at this time. He would like to work with the board first before he would do any data gathering, if we would like him to do so. He's encouraging us to think about what it is we would want to have him explore, or what data we'd like to collect. He would see it as encouraging if we were looking to explore how to improve things, give staff an opportunity to confidentially discuss things with him and bring that back to the board as a report. He says that it's a little bit worrisome if we're just going after history or what happened in the past and why that shouldn't happen again, that he would encourage us to be more forward-thinking in terms of how to improve the workplace and to move forward. So with that in mind, does the board want me to pursue a meeting with him sometime in April, if he can, and to pursue this project? In terms of meeting with him and gathering data from staff. Ann?
I think that it is the wisest course of action for reasons that we have discussed in other meetings. His professionalism, his experience he's not personally involved on a day-to-day basis. And so I really think that it would be of best service to the staff and the board and therefore the community if we could choose to work with him again. He's been exceptional to work with in the past couple of times we've done that. So I think it's worth it. It may be in the meantime, what each of us on the board should be doing is making our own personal list of the kinds of things that we'd want to bring to that discussion, that initial discussion with Ryan about the things that we would want to see included so that we're ready when that meeting happens.
Thank you. Tom?
I don't think we can wait till May. got a problem now, and Ann's assurances from staff about working relationship kind of rings hollow considering what we've been hearing. So I'm not exactly sure. I'd much rather have Mr. Ryan's advice, but I'm not waiting till May. I want to talk to our employees. If Mr. Ryan isn't available, is there someone else who could advise us as far as the board's liability or responsibility when it comes to this kind of thing? I know most HR departments are designed to protect both the workers and management's concerns. So, unfortunately, we have no HR professional in our organization, and now our go-to guy can't talk to us for 2 months. That's unacceptable. We need some advice. We need it right now.
I had gone through my file, and I had come up with a memo that Ryan had sent out on August 26, 2020 to everybody, and it's about the employee feedback questions for the authority manager process. But in doing so, going through it, there's things that would also help with our staff. But I think we need to move forward and try and resolve that. I don't know how to put it. I'm like Tom. I would like to sit down and talk with staff, but I know we only have particular about questions, what we can and can't ask, or we don't get ourselves in a pickle. So I think we need to have a better relationship with our employees, all employees, and not have this fear of talking to the board.
Ann, you had your hand up and then Sean?
I did, and this, I appreciate the concern about focusing on May. What I think might be more useful for us is to focus on a meeting with Ryan in April. And again, because of his expertise and his distance from the people, I think it's well worth to take advantage of both of those things. I think it's a wise course of action. We live in a small town. Rumors travel fast. I feel very comfortable in my role as board liaison and the discussions I had with the lead staff. I feel assured from the people themselves that they are functioning well together as a team, and that tensions that may have been tossed around in the Ethernet around town may have been either biased in view or exaggerated through whatever means. I think there are misconceptions about the effectiveness of the staff working together as a team. And so I just want to do whatever I can to assure the board that the meetings I had with the lead staff gave me confidence in that. And I think we have a good team in place and moving forward well together. And what happened in the past is in the past.
Thank you. John?
All right. I have a whole bunch of notes here that I've been taking over the last couple of weeks and today. And I keep trying to distill all of these thoughts down into a couple of solid bullet points, which has proven to be much more difficult than anticipated. However, these are the things I keep coming back to in my mind that are crucial. Number one, our authority manager resigned under less than ideal circumstances. I don't know all of the circumstances, but what it appears to me is that they were less than ideal. I think that there are a lot of things that happened that I don't know about. And from the indications that I have, based on the conversations this board has had over the last few weeks, we were in a situation where potentially half of our staff was ready to depart the authority, and somehow this board didn't know about that. That concerns me greatly. That to me does not seem like a happy work environment, and I think that we need to figure out what circumstances led to that, why we're in the position that we are in now, and as much as I agree with the general concept of moving forward, I'm not comfortable with what has happened over the last month, so I'm not comfortable letting that be water under the bridge at this point. I think we need to understand what happened, mostly, A, so that the board can have confidence in the PCJWSA, and B, so that we can appropriately hire the next authority manager and make sure we don't run into these pitfalls again. So I am very concerned about waiting until May. I do think that we need to figure this out. I like Ryan just fine, and I think it's, you know, great that he's willing to help us out. I have serious concerns about waiting till May to figure all this out.
Basically, we don't know what happened. Why?
I appreciate that, and when I said what's in the past is in the past, I did not mean to take that the next step and suggest that it was unimportant. I'm not suggesting that at all. I do think that as we move forward in the search for the authority manager, that a reasonable approach and actually a wise approach in terms of management is to start down the path of exploring exactly what you're talking about, Sean, but also in terms of what can be set up differently or discussed in a different light or seen in a different context for how we go forward. Because I think all of our goal is to have the best possible outcome of the authority manager search this next time. And a very important part of that is communication with the staff on the organization itself. And so, I don't feel the crunch of time like it has to happen tomorrow. I think it's more important that it happen in the proper context and that it be done well so that we're assured of the best possible outcome. So again, I think if we could start down the path with an initial meeting with our own personal preparation of questions and things we'd like to see addressed, and then have the meeting with Ryan with those tools in hand to make that meeting as effective as possible, and then maybe come out of that meeting, my guess would be, with a plan going forward of what the next steps are, which I expect will be confidential discussions with the staff. So, and I know it's frustrating because we want to get a hold of this right now, but personally, I think we have the time, and it's important that we take the time to do this in the most respectful and comprehensive way we can.
Right.
I think we're going to have a problem because I'm pretty sure it's putting it all out there. who's going to want to come in here and be our manager when we've got staff problems and the staff doesn't want to work with the past manager, or that the staff was running it? We're going to have a hard time filling our managed position until we get this straightened out. And some people think that maybe there's not a problem, but I do believe there is a problem, and it needs to be fixed or addressed, or we will not tolerate this type of behavior of stirring up this contention of being unhappy about doing your job or not doing your job. There's not a question that our staff doesn't do the work. It's the griping and griping about it, and some of the, if the possibility of lying about things and stuff like that. I don't learn about others.
Cameron, I think your concerns. Yes, it sounds like you're very frustrated and that you have some very specific concerns. And at this point, it's challenging to discuss specifics because we want to respect the confidentiality of each individual and their perspective and their story about how things were, given that they were part or not part of any particular incident. So at this point, none of the board members that I'm aware of was at any particular incident or on site when any of these things happened. And because we've heard rumors or discussions of one side or the other side or both sides, we have in our minds how things actually are or were.
Do you think it would help if we went into an executive session to talk about some of this stuff? I mean, we're kind of, I don't know.
That's a good question, Cameron. By law, we cannot go into executive session to discuss this kind of thing. This kind of thing is usually not at the board level where the board gets involved with these kinds of issues as part of their meetings. And part of that, I would expect, has been framed that way in order to protect people from rumors and from discussions that may or may not be true. So, yes, we have data, unconfirmed data, of what might be happening at the work site, for which we'd like to, we as the board, would like to understand better in order to improve best practices and move forward with a good decision in hiring the next authority manager. In order to...
You referred to a law that it's not part of the board's purview. What law is that?
When I refer to law, is the law that we cannot meet in executive session to discuss employee stories about employees in the workplace.
I thought executive session was designed to talk about employees, but it's private, so it's their confidentiality is protected.
In part, that's true, Tom. The executive session can be called to evaluate the authority manager and to discuss his behavior in that role. It is not there for us to use it as a tool to talk about what we believe has happened with particular employees, other than the authority manager.
Which we don't have one.
That is correct. With the position at this point is vacant. John?
I think we're in a little bit of a unique situation here. I know we're in a unique situation here. You know, there is no authority manager, and so... You know, in the I don't know if we have policies and procedures in place for this, but you know, we don't have an authority manager, and it would not be appropriate to talk about employees or staffing issues specifically in open session. And so given that we don't have an authority manager and the board may have to make employee type decisions, then could that be done in executive session?
We could certainly check with NOAA, but my hunch is that I believe that's not a possibility. Because those employees at this point do not report to us. We are looking for an interim manager in order to place something in that gap in terms of that responsibility for the position, but just because the position is unfilled, it doesn't change how the law is written. Don?
Well, so now I'm confused. I mean, so we don't have an authority manager, so do our employees now not report to anybody?
Legally, I don't know the answer to that question. I think at this point we had put in place the lead staff were working together as a team and supervising the other operators, and that Ann would be in place as the board liaison to the team. And that was our structure until we made a decision about an interim manager and then until we hired an authority manager. The issue of investigating a incident that might be referred to us by our policy gives the board the right to start an investigation, but it does not give the board the right to go into executive session to discuss the particular issue with the employee. And you'll have to excuse me, my knowledge of HR is not very broad, so if anybody else here has got that expertise, please speak up. So if I can try to go down the road that I started on, we are looking for an authority manager. We have talked and we will do several things. One is we're looking at changing the interview process. The other is looking at, we're looking into our policies regarding chain of command issues to see if that's clear. And we were on a track to work with Ryan Fleming to gather data from staff. I don't know if there's any, I think that's a good road to go down. I don't think that anything can be solved yesterday. I think that it's a process that's going to take a while, and I appreciate that individual board members haven't jumped into the fray to find out if X, Y, or Z may or may not be true. That isn't part of our duty. Our duty is to hire and fire that executive manager and make sure the policies and the policies are in place, and to identify potential issues that may arise, or to refine policies to put better best practices in place. And it seems to me that we have several members with concerns about information that they have heard and they believe to be true. I think that it would be a disservice to the authority, our staff, and the community for us to jump in there and try to figure it out ourselves. I am certainly, as an individual board member, I'm certainly open to looking at other HR folks. I don't know of any that I could recommend that the board start with. Ryan is our second HR person that we've dealt with because the board did not want to go back to the first one that we had. We could go back that direction if we wanted to. I think that Ryan would get us a better end product at this point, given our past experience with him and his ability to work with the board. So that's my opinion at this point. Sean, you had your hand up?
I did. I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I want to recap something you said. want to make sure I heard you correctly. You mentioned that you thought that the board had the ability to start an investigation. Is that what I heard you say?
The board, I believe, if I understand HR stuff right, can start an investigation if there is a staff complaint on a particular issue, but it would not be the board that would conduct the investigation. This has to do with the way the whistleblower policies are written. I'm assuming those of you with expertise in other businesses that for other reasons, if there is a written complaint to the board, then the board is required to take action on it depending upon the substantive of the complaint, and there are specific procedures and policies that have to be followed regarding that. Tom?
Part of the problem here is that there was no, or assumed by staff, was no way to communicate with us that there was a problem. There was an obvious problem, and there was a long-standing obvious problem. We can't let this sit. We got to find out what happened. If we don't know what happened, we can't correct it. If there wasn't an issue and everything's hunky-dory, well, let's move on. But I don't think that's the case. We had an authority manager that resigned. We had, once again, half the staff threatening to quit. Was that his fault? Was that staff's fault? We don't have a clue, and you're telling me we can't contact our staff and talk to them to see if we can find this out and be confidential about it, make sure that, you know, there are no recriminations on them. This is strictly what we need to find out. I find it really hard to believe that doing an investigation, we just gotta let it go? That's baloney. Ryan can't be here. He was our go-to guy. I'm very frustrated and I'm not real happy.
Okay. Go ahead, Cameron.
Well, it says, I'm reading in our handbook here, page 24, communications, it's the sample board membership responsibilities, develop regular channels of communication with board members and staff. That's in there. There's nothing in here about doing an investigation. I asked about this a while back about how to do an investigation. Why is there even part here that...
Cameron, could you give us a reference on that? Is that the
board packet?
Is that the SDAO board?
The board membership duties and responsibilities.
Okay.
I mean, some of this, we're hitting the miss of, we're only getting the things done that suits the needs of individuals, of passing motions and policies. Like I said, there's nothing in here about investigation. Now, if the investigation, we have to do something, do we go through SDAO?
Cameron, if there is a reportable HR issue, and I'm using that as a broad term, such as a whistleblower issue, there are federal laws that our policies and procedures support, and there is a procedure in terms of how those are handled according to federal law.
Right. And it was talking about that in here too. I mean, we're in a unique situation. I mean, everybody knows that. We don't have a manager. We've got an issue. Who's going to come into this hornet's nest? Ryan's not available. I really would like to have him.
Cameron, Ryan is available. It's just he's not available today.
Right. Yeah.
And when you talk about a hornet's nest, I think you're representing something that you believe may be true based on what you've heard. And I would like us to refrain from titling things in an emotional way until we actually get the data.
But that's my opinion, though. You can't change my opinion.
I'm not asking you to change your opinion. I'm asking you to articulate it in a way so that we can work through these issues based on fact and based on a methodical, objective data gathering piece so that we can come to understand what needs to be done in the future.
But you're saying that there's sensitive items that we can't talk about in open meeting.
There are things that, yes, none of us would want to talk about in open meeting. I heard a rumor out there the other day about this. I'm not going to say that in open meeting because, one, it hasn't proven to be true, and, two, I'm a board member that understands that it is a challenging job to be a board member because you are bound by certain laws and certain policies and certain ways of doing business. Ann?
Well, I'm really sensitive, I think, to all sides of this discussion. I kind of feel as though we're not making a lot of progress right now at this moment. I'm wondering if we could set the question aside, all continue to think about our thoughts and beliefs about it, but set it aside for the time being and go on. I'm sure there will be more special meetings. We'll have more opportunities to talk about this and a little bit of time to consider our individual thoughts and preferences. I think might serve the end result well. So I'm wondering if we could maybe move along with the agenda and then come back to this at a special meeting maybe next week.
Any comments? Don?
Yeah. Maybe I make a suggestion. Maybe we need to, I mean, I do agree that we do need to move forward, but maybe we need to get some legal advice from counsel on a few things. One, maybe we could get some advice on how management functions in the absence of an authority manager in terms of supervision and reporting and, how does that sort of chain of command work in the absence of an authority manager? Two, we could get some legal advice on HR issues. I'm wondering if maybe there could be a two-member committee of the board that starts going down this path of an investigation or HR assessment to try to figure out, how we got here and how we can make it better. And maybe we could go down that path at the same time we're going down the path of setting up a time to meet with Ryan Fleming.
I appreciate that, both of those things, Sean, and I think that would be very useful for the board to have the benefit of that advice. I might also add, if I could, consultation with, as well as legal, consultation with SDAO. Perhaps there are people at SDAO who've might be able to guide us or ask questions for us to answer as a board. But I like that idea because I don't think that right this minute we have a good answer.
Okay. Tom, Cameron?
Well, yeah, we got to do something. Yeah. Yeah, I think the SDO needs to be contacted, or legal services. Somebody in the districts had to have been in something of this situation before. Maybe they can help us, guide us through the pitfalls or, you know, through their... And I think we still need to book up something with Mr. Fleming.
Sean?
You just triggered a review of the notes I was taking earlier. Carolyn, I believe you mentioned one of the reasons Ryan Fleming was not able to meet in the near future was because he was in the middle of some investigations.
Yes.
Okay, so that leads me to think that he conducts something similar to what we're interested in doing.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so it sounds like at this point that I will continue to pursue a project with Ryan Fleming that we'd like a check-in with legal counsel about how to supervise and reporting issues with regards to the absence of authority manager, and that with regards to HR, is there a way for the board to set up an HR assessment looking at how we got here and make it better? I know that Noah Jarrett at Schwabe will be referring us to an HR legal counsel, and I'm assuming that'll be Amanda. Michelle?
It might be Katie Tank.
That's right, yes, exactly. And she's no longer with Schwabe, is she?
That's correct, but we have done business.
We have used her in the past.
That's correct.
For those kinds of issues. So I'll call, we'll get a hold of Katie directly and then report back to the board. All right, thank you all for all of your comments and your willingness to move forward with this and resolve the issue. And if I could just go back a minute, I think that in light of having these conversations that, Sean, you had a couple of points that I think summarize the conversation in general, that we're looking at are there issues in the workplace that caused the resignation or that contributed to the resignation? We want to make sure we don't make this mistake. We want to make sure we find the best match possible when we look for the new authority manager, and that may require us making some changes in how we do things. And if we can get the answers to those two things as we begin to look at different candidates, then hopefully we will have better practices in place. Is that kind of a quick and dirty summary? John?
I'd like to add one thing to that I think is important. I mean, it is clear to me that there has been a massive communications failure here.
Yes, thank you.
And that's really important. I mean, somehow the shit hit the fan, figuratively and literally, I guess, and the board didn't know about it. So somehow we have failed in establishing the proper communication standards.
Right, and we're already looking at chain of command within our policies and procedures, and that'll be on the agenda for the April meeting.
Also on the April meeting, are you having the COVID? Because all the information was passed out about the COVID, our mask and our policies and procedures and stuff.
I will add that to our discussion. So if anybody's got questions about the policies and procedures, we can bring them up. Yes, thank you, Cameron. All right, back to the agenda.
Sean had a question.
I'm sorry, Sean, please.
Oh, that's okay. I was going to save this for later, but I'll just insert it now. Brought it up. I think the COVID thing is really important. It seems like there is or was potentially a not super well-conducted COVID training, and I have personally witnessed PCJWSA staff not following COVID protocols, so I think we need to make sure that we either reiterate what COVID policy is, create a new COVID policy, or institute some training.
I agree.
Training is a decent issue. I know we have safety meetings on a regular basis, but training for COVID, I believe, is a serious thing, and maybe we ought to have a little refresher course for staff. Contract someone to do that for us. Like maybe the Tillamook County Health Department, I'm just making a suggestion there, might be willing to come out and chat with us, chat with staff.
Nope. What else there, Thomas? Oh, there you go.
I say again, perhaps the Tillamook County Health Department might have staff that could come out and talk to us about COVID policy or talk to staff, have a refresher training.
So at this point, have all the board members looked at the policies, the policy around the COVID issue with regards to PCJWSA?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. And are there any, it's not part of
the meeting.
The meeting.
To discuss in April.
Yeah, I think discussing in April, but the board has reviewed it. We're not making any decisions at this point, so I think we can segue slightly into this, that the policy is in place, and our concern is that without an appointed authority manager, there's no way to tell whether or not that policy is there. We don't have an appointed person to see if that policy is being fully implemented or not, and that we have, some of us have had some observations and concerns that there may be some lapse in following policy, and we, because of the issues of COVID, we have those concerns, and we need to find a way to check that out. Does that seem to be what we're addressing at this point? Okay.
Yes.
So we will put that on the April agenda, and we do have a majority of our staff, I believe, on this call, so they will understand how important the COVID policy is to the board and the board representing the community. I'm sure that from this time forward that there will be a little more attention given to it, and we'll see what else we can do with it as per our discussion in a couple of weeks. Thanks, Sean, for bringing that up. All right. Item 5, interim authority manager options. So you had a page in your packet, and as requested, I notified SDAO, OAWU, Profman, and I also sent out an additional email to Rob Mills since we were in contact with him regarding our request for help in identifying an interim manager. At this time, no specific recommendation has been made to us for an authority manager. We had some very clear recommendations from these folks. One was to rehire a past employee. Another was to hire a candidate from our previous round of searching for an authority manager. And by the way, I went back and checked, and that candidate did not meet our individual qualifications for what we thought we needed an authority manager at that time. And the third recommendation was to hire a consultant for specific work. We're 3 weeks into our search for an interim manager. We have a number of projects that need immediate or immediate attention or attention in the very near future. And the board as a whole cannot operate as the authority manager unless we're all willing to share that work and probably go into meetings twice weekly. And I haven't heard support for that at this point. So it's not looking easy or hopeful in the near term for an interim authority manager, given what we, given our past discussions and what we're looking for. Therefore, at this point in time, I have a recommendation. I'd like to encourage the board to appoint Michelle Hughes as interim authority manager through December 31st, the date being adjusted if a new manager is hired and oriented sooner. I think Michelle has the expertise, the knowledge, and the ability to work with all parties, and she's been at PCJWSA for 17 and a half years. She has the financial and business acumen. She has experience and knowledge of the budget process. She knows PCJWSA policies. In fact, she's written or edited a number of them. She knows the ORSs and the financial and computer systems at PCJWSA. The staff, the customers, and the board all hold her in high respect. And from what I've observed, she operates and interacts seamlessly with legal and engineering professionals. Michelle would require no training for the interim position. There are parts of the interim position for which she doesn't have the qualifications, such as operator certifications and parts, contractual parts of other projects. However, I believe that PCJWSA has a dedicated staff and that outside professionals could fill the holes if she needed some help during the interim time. Business at PCJWSA is busy and a number of projects need an authority manager's attention. The search process, overseeing that, making sure that all things go well, the hiring of the Operator 3, and the OIT, the budget, the master plans, and finishing up the AMR project, the Springbrook implementation, and the Horn Creek Internet. Michelle could be immediately moved forward into that position. The board would then have someone to direct particular issues, some of which we talked about today, and would have the chain of command in place to continue until an authority manager was hired. And you had comments regarding an interim authority manager from your time and working with staff. Do you want to share those now before I open this up for discussion?
Get my microphone going, yes. In listening to conversation with and having the conversation with our staff about the concept of an interim authority manager, I think there was clear understanding of why it's important to have someone in that role, that the board cannot and should not be in that position. But there were... let me get back to my notes here. There was some very serious concern expressed about someone coming in from the outside, because outside the organization, because they would need considerable time to ramp up. And I guess the concept that came across to me was, no matter what a person's past experience is in the industry, every facility and every administrative and management model is unique, and like a lot of industries, it's not a simple plug-and-play concept. You can't just pluck somebody out of nowhere and stick them in the position and expect it to all magically work seamlessly. So that from the staff's perspective, what I was went away with is that the impression that there's a lot of time invested by the lead staff in working with a new authority manager, in this case, in for purposes of this discussion, an interim authority manager. And that's necessary and valuable time to be spent. But if we did that, and then assuming that the interim authority manager was not going to apply for the position and continue as authority manager, then all of that energy has to be done again with a new authority manager when the search is complete. So that I think I've represented our conversation well enough for this discussion.
All right, thank you. Tom?
This question is for Michelle. When Tony was still manager and we were in a search for a new manager, am I still there?
You are back.
Michelle, did you spend much time with Tony with setting up this search mechanism, or you feel comfortable going through it again?
Absolutely. Yes.
Did you spend some time with Tony with doing this?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I had.
Thank you.
Just in general principle, I'm not opposed to the idea. I think it's a good solution. It's a lot to think about. On initial thought, I think it's a great idea if Michelle is up for it. But I think that kind of, in some ways, changes some of the prior discussion that we had. I'm not processing at the speed that I think is required, but overall, I think it's a good idea.
I think, Sean, I would agree with you regarding our past discussion. I think that we would continue with our past discussion so that we, if we ever found ourselves in the position, if the board ever found themselves in the position absent an authority manager, we would be able to have a document or a summary or something that would help the next board go through this easier or prevent the challenges that we face. So I think that discussion was good, and that having those kind of backup plans in place would be a good thing for this board. Ann, you had a comment, and then Cameron?
I think this is a very good solution for the moment, and I completely agree with everything you said about Michelle's experience and background and abilities, and she has already been elected as the budget officer, so obviously that's a seamless transition. If she's willing to move forward on this, I think it's an excellent solution.
Thank you. Cameron?
I'm still processing. that we had problems with our lockbox situation, our stuff with Springbrook. I mean, frustrating. it just seems like we just jumped before things are really well thought out. There's nothing in our book or anywhere that I know of. I don't know. After the meeting, I'll think of tons of things to come up with because over the processing looks better. So, I don't know.
So Cameron, you mentioned a couple of things. When you said the lockbox, were you talking about the locks on the meters?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I said, why can't we wait? You know, that there was things that Kirk could have finished up on, but that's near the point. I mean, it already happened. You guys already, you know, we already got rid of Kirk. I just think we're making a bad decision after a bad decision after a bad decision.
Cameron, can I...
My opinion, Carolyn.
It's your opinion, but can I help restate the facts? We didn't get rid of Kirk. Kirk resigned for health reasons, and we had a severance agreement, which he then left that particular day.
Yeah, but we could have had him finish up the job in a month. We could have had him finish up things that were still hanging. But by what Michelle and Michelle said, that we didn't have any problems with Spring Book, and we didn't have any problems with AMR, and when the budget was turned over to Michelle, and for all I know, Michelle could be the problem from everything, of why we're having issues. I don't know. That all makes sense.
All right, Sean?
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, we did have some conversations prior, and there was a little bit of a sort of a give and take in terms of, you know, offering the severance package to the previous authority manager, and that was in some ways kind of a trade-off with contingencies on getting to the core of why we're in the situation we're in now. And so kind of circling back to this, I'm wondering if we could, you know, in the interim, and I know we need to get some legal advice, but I'm wondering if in the interim between now and when we can meet with Ryan Fleming, if he could appoint a two-member committee of the board to start looking into some HR issues and start that ball rolling with getting some legal advice as to what we can and can't do with HR investigations and start that process so we're not waiting another month to go down that path.
So let me, John, in order to respond to you, let me step back a minute. The notes that I had taken about calling Katie Tank this week and checking in with the SDAO and then getting a firm commitment from Ryan, those seem to be the things that you're referring to. I thought we were moving forward on those things. I'm not sure where that comes in the discussion to place an interim authority manager in place so that we have a complete chain of command and we've got other projects that need work that can be attended to.
I guess from my perspective, I'd be curious to see what Tom and Cameron think about this. You know, because I think having an interim authority manager in place, you know, helps alleviate some of these pressures. And so, you know, I wonder if we need to be more aggressive at figuring out where our communication failures were.
And what do you mean by being more aggressive? Because I feel like I've been moving as fast as I can to contact people and to pull things back into perspective for the board. So if you could help define that a little bit better for me.
Well, I think maybe Tom and Cameron can pipe in on this, but I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm just talking out loud.
So let me see if I can rephrase this a little bit. Appointing an interim manager at this point would put someone in charge of the day-to-day operations at PCJWSA and attend to those issues. That wouldn't take away from the board's responsibility and the need of the board to take a look at the HR assessment, which we're proceeding on that as efficiently as we can. If any of the board members have experts that they would like to pursue, to refer to the board that might be better or as good as Ryan and faster, I think the board is open to that. And those, that is the board's responsibility, along with pursuing our work with Rob Mills. The day-to-day operations is a little tricky without an interim manager. We've got Ann as board liaison and me working directly with staff on some projects, but I don't know how much longer. I would be much more comfortable if there was an authority manager that was in place so that that person was responsible for dealing with those issues and then could report to the board and we could converse as we had been in the past, but we would still be working on this HR issue as a board issue. So appointing Michelle as interim manager does not take away any of the board responsibilities and projects that we've talked about to date. Tom?
Well, I share Sean's concern and Cameron's frustration. But Ann's points are well taken about Michelle's qualifications as to fill in here. She knows staff, she, and the other qualifications that you pointed out, Carolyn. So I don't have a problem with it. I think it's a good temporary solution. However, we absolutely need to find out, and I use that term very specifically, absolutely have to find out why this thing happened. Some of it's our fault. That communication thing is critical. We got to make sure that whoever we hire has good communication skills with the staff. We need communication between staff and the board somehow, legally, however that is, so that, I won't call it a whistleblower, but some kind of a confidential line of communication between the board and individuals on staff. I think that's critical. Getting back to Michelle, I think that would answer our specific current problem. I think that is a good choice.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion then. Ann?
I was just going to ask if we were at that point to move that we appoint Michelle Hughes as our interim authority manager with an expectation that the term would extend through the end of this calendar year unless an authority manager is hired and trained prior to that.
I'll second it.
It has been moved and seconded that we appoint Michelle as interim authority manager through December 31st unless the board hires and a new manager is oriented and trained prior to that. I say through. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? All abstaining? Thank you. The motion then passes. Now, the question, and Michelle, I don't want to put you on the spot. Would you like to accept that appointment, or would you like to think about that?
I'll accept the appointment.
Thank you very much. We have, yes, Sean?
Just a thought process. So given that Michelle's duties are going to be greater than they are now, will we move her into the authority manager's salary bracket?
That would to be expected, and it was the next item in my notes. So in asking Michelle to move into that, appointing Michelle to that position, we need to take a look at compensation issues. Moving into the position, to a reminder of the board, that salary range for the position is $85,000 to $125K. We haven't officially set any steps within that position, but if you were to take that range of salary and divide it into four, you would have four different steps that one would need to move into. And if you did that in a very rough way of thinking about it, the first step would be your beginner step. The last step would be obviously be prior successful experience in the position. And the second and third step would be split between the two. Michelle does have supervisory experience, but I don't think she's a beginner in the position. She also has not served in that position before. So I would like the board to consider a salary compensation that would be equal to the first quartile or the 25% of that particular range, given three things. One is that we've pulled her back out of retirement, which she was anticipating, and I think that that is important to note. Two is the experience that she brings to the job and the longevity of PCJWSA. And third, this is a very busy time relative to the number of projects on deck and the hiring that needs to be done. The cost to the authority of that compensation for three quarters of a calendar year would be approximately $15,000 in addition to her current salary.
So, are we talking about the $85,000, or what are you talking, $100,000?
The first quarter for a complete, if you were to look at the range divided into four parts and go into what I was calling step two, that step two would be $95,000 for a full calendar year. And let me double check that because I didn't look at that.
It started at $90,000 because there's a $40,000 difference between $85,000 and $125,000, so it would be a $10,000 step into the second range. So that would be $95,000.
Correct. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to table this because I'd like to research it. It's not on the agenda, or does that go under interim authority manager?
It goes under the interim authority manager. Yes. And
well, I'm the breakdown.
It's. Oh, excuse me, Cameron.
Go ahead, Cameron.
Well, the breakdown between the jobs and stuff, the difference between the managerial skills and stuff, the certificates of all that, I'd like to see the how it all breaks down. She's not signing off for any of our certs. The responsibility that goes to Leonard and Ray.
Correct. Anne?
I'm feeling like, and I'll preface this by saying if it's a number, I don't retain it in my head for very long. It's just the way my mind works. I have to have the whole thing in front of me. But what I'm hearing is a proposal that we, having now appointed Michelle as authority manager, that, and in recognition of all the qualifications she does have, and in recognition of the technical certifications and parts of the job she doesn't have, we are, I remind myself, we are talking about an interim position, and that there is a tremendous amount of work to be done. Much of that work is going to take advantage of Michelle's particular skills in budgeting and her experience in supervising staff, her working relationships and attention to detail when it comes to things like engineering and facilities management and public relations experience, her knowledge of the policies, because as you said, she's written or edited virtually all of them in her 17 years at the authority. I think that more than satisfies that step that you were discussing in terms of salary. If you look at it as an annual salary and then back that out for what it would mean, you gave a figure for the additional monies that would be required to complete the year. And I guess I'd like to make a motion that we go ahead with that compensation packet for all of those reasons at the level you presented. And I don't know how much more specific I need to be in a motion. But I'm going to move that we proceed with a compensation packet reflecting your analysis of the position and Michelle's background.
Just to add to and your comment, the number I quoted would be, it's an additional $15K for the remainder of the calendar year. And when I look at that number, I think that's very cheap to get this, I should say, I think that's very reasonable for the authority to have the services of an experienced person in that role for the remainder of this calendar year, if that time frame is necessary. And I know that there's a lot of work there that we as board members don't see that needs to be done and can be done. This would give us a way to make sure our policies were being adhered to, or give us a person that we could go to. It would make sure that staff had somebody to go to directly and so forth. Tom?
Okay, just to make this clear in my mind, what we're suggesting is that if it was an annual salary, it would be the equivalent of $95,000.
Correct.
And you keep saying 15. Is that a reference to 15K more than what she currently makes, or what?
That would be 15K more than, that would be a 15K above what she would normally make from here to the end of the year, correct? John?
Just so I'm clear, what is her current salary right now?
I believe the current salary for that position is a little over 75K. Is that correct, Michelle?
Correct.
So are we talking about 90,000 or 95,000?
It's only three quarters of the... How do I say that? I'm sorry, I'm not looking at my spreadsheet. Let me get a minute. If someone else has got another comment, please go ahead and I'll pull that up.
I think just for comparison, so that we're all on the same page, you're talking about, you know, the equivalent of a $95,000 a year salary payable from now forward.
Correct. Thank you.
So we're going from 90 to 95?
No, we're going from 85 to 95 on the position. And at a position paying 95K per year, Michelle would get 15,000 of that in addition, that would represent an addition to her current salary.
Which is 90.
Correct. That's it's not what's
no.
Cameron's going on a cash flow issue. It's not in terms of the position, but it is in terms of cash flow.
So we're talking about Michelle is currently employed at approximately $75,000 per year annual salary.
Correct.
She would move to $95,000 a year annual salary under the interim authority manager position.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yes, Ann?
So there is a motion on the table. To accomplish this, if I think I hope everybody's got it clear now with regard to the numbers. So,
see a lot of wheels turning.
Yeah, I'll comment on that. I mean, I don't have any problem, you know, with moving Michelle up. I think it's a great idea, and the $85,000 makes perfect sense to me. I'm just having trouble wrapping my head around where and if and how to go above $85,000, and I'm not sure I'm gonna get there in the next 5 minutes. So that's. Where I'm at.
Ann?
So, Sean, my personal thinking on that is that we're talking about, if you look at the range of 85 to 125,000 for an authority manager, we are looking at having the advantage of someone who has extensive experience. It is by no means a beginner level authority manager because of Michelle's extensive experience and knowledge of the organization and her working abilities with all the professional people that the authority manager has to deal with. So in my mind, that's why I propose the additional salary, but not all the way to three quarters or full.
Yes, Tom?
So while we're arguing over numbers, and that's a poor term, excuse me, we have 95,000 is one, and add 85,000 is another suggestion. Perhaps consensus, a practical consensus would be 90,000 halfway in between. You would modify your motion to that number. I think I could live with that, and I don't think there's a problem. I think Michelle would be an outstanding asset to fill in here for a while.
Thank you for that, Tom. I don't know. I appreciate that. I just think that Michelle's expertise deserves more than pulling her in at the bottom of the scale. I think the question asked about what is her current salary is less than ideal, because it doesn't matter what she's currently making. I think we need to look at what we're asking her to do, and the amount of work that's on the table. And with her expertise, I think that my low really is that 25% bracket. There is just a lot of work there. The board's going to be going through two major projects that involves a lot of support. We've got extra meetings going on that requires work of her to manage as the secretary or the assistant to the board, in addition to operations and the number of new hires and the searches going on require above and beyond time. And I think the time that she's going to spend working on these issues merits at least a 25 or what I would call a step one bracket. I'd like to go higher, but thought that that would be a reasonable amount. So I hear the compromise. I appreciate it, but I'd like to have you consider the reasons for looking at the 25% bracket.
I'm stuck at 85.
I think 90 is a reasonable compromise, Cameron.
Plus, he's already doing the budget anyway. I think we're going to be overloading him with everything else that she does. It's almost like we're setting her up to fail. I mean, she's going to be doing all the stuff as a manager. She's going to be disciplined.
I'm sorry?
Is she going to be disciplining and writing people up under basically everything that a manager would be doing?
If she is she has been appointed interim manager, if she may choose to modify her acceptance of that based on the financial package, I don't know. But yes, as interim manager, she would take on full responsibilities of the authority manager position, yes.
We're not changing anything else. She's already written most of the policies and procedures. She's working on the budget.
Historically, Cameron, the budget appointment goes to the authority manager, so the fact that we were able to reappoint her and ask her to stay to rescind her retirement was, I think, as a favor and of showing dedication to the authority. She didn't have to do that. So I think to assume that she's already working on it and therefore we don't have to worry about the compensation for it is a concern to me. And
she's been doing everything ever since anyway.
And I don't understand what you're saying by that. So she's been doing it all anyway, and therefore we shouldn't compensate her?
No. She's been doing the job way ever since before. She's been Tony in line. She's been trying to keep Kurt in line. She's been keeping everybody in line. I mean, yeah, she should be compensated, but she doesn't have the implications. She's not doing the technical stuff that Tony did. I mean, I'd have to see job descriptions to be able to verify. I mean,
I think you've got
those. That's my analytical thought.
Okay. I think you've got that information. Ann and then Tom? Okay, Tom, go ahead.
I would like to point out that that Rochelle is trying to there and paraphrasing or kind of quoting what Michelle told us in a previous meeting, that she's got this. And because there is a bigger workload on Michelle as the new interim manager, then unfortunately some of this is going to fall back on Rochelle, and once again I have great confidence in her to take up that slack that Michelle would normally do.
And
so I agree with that. I mean, Rochelle, I think, has all of our confidence. And part of the reason for that is Rochelle's work ethic and her smarts and education and all of that. But a large part of it, too, is the training she's received from Michelle since her arrival at the authority. And that's an example of supervisory and training experience that an authority manager needs to have. Again, I want to remind everybody, in terms of dollar amounts and that sort of thing, we have not now appointed an authority manager with technical certifications. We knew that when we made that decision. So we're not expecting that part of the job to be fulfilled, but we have confidence that the technical certification expertise is in place, and should we need anything more advanced, we have ways of hiring consultants or whatever. But I want to make sure that as we decide on the compensation here, that we have a full recognition of the skills and background expertise that Michelle brings to the table. True, there are not technical certifications or maybe project supervision of a wastewater treatment plant or something like that. That's not in her experience background, but we're not talking about a salary at the top of the range either. I do think it's incredibly important to compensate people in a position of leadership for the talents and experience that they do have and what they bring to the table to help the authority move forward as well as possible. And I really do think that if you break that salary range down into quarters, that Michelle more than satisfies that. Was it the 25% mark that brought us to 95,000?
Yes.
I think Michelle more than satisfies that that level. So that is the motion that I made, and I think it's a reasonable approach. Also, not to forget that Michelle had made a decision to retire. She's again been willing to accept the interim position in lieu of that.
Might I add one more thing? In my analysis of the compensation, I wanted to make sure, I was hoping that I would make it enough that it would attract Michelle to stay possibly through the end of the year and to get her energy and 100% commitment to help us through all of these projects and to be as successful as possible. I don't want appointing an interim manager to be at the bottom of the scale because I'm concerned that that it would be hard to I'd like it to be rewarding for all the work that's there. I guess that's the best way to describe it. It's not going to be an easy position to take at this point.
Carolyn.
Yes.
Not hearing a second, I'd like to make an additional motion to the $90,000 range.
Well, Tom, for you're suggesting that the original motion fails for lack of a second?
It appears so.
Okay, I think that needs to be reflected in the minutes.
And I've not been in this position, and I don't have Robert's Rules of Orders in front of me. Can the board chair second? I've not ever seconded, and Sean?
Yeah, there is nothing that prevents a board chair from seconding a motion.
All right. I'm sorry I haven't been in that position to declare that. So since the original motion is on the table, I will second that motion that's there, and any further discussion? Yes, Sean?
I'll just say, I mean, what I'm trying to do, it's probably too much trying to do. I'm looking through the, it's not that I don't think Michelle's worth it. I'm just trying to, you know, justify it based on looking through the job description we have, the authority manager, what the responsibilities are. And so it's not that I don't think Michelle's worth it. I'm just trying to look at all this stuff and justify it. And that's where my pause is.
Would it be appropriate to say we'd like to table the discussion of compensation until our next meeting and give an opportunity for people to compare job descriptions and to look at the range of the authority manager, the dollar range of the authority manager position and how that might be split with responsibilities and so forth, and to finalize a decision at the next meeting if that were the preference of the board, then we could check in with Michelle to see if she were okay with that, Tom?
I think that's a good idea, so we can go through the job description again. However, I would think it's only fair that whatever decision we decide to make it retro to today's decision to make her manager. So if we decide 95 or 100 or 85 or 90 or whatever, whenever we make that decision as a board, that it's retro back to today's date.
All right. Anne, you want Anne?
Yeah, we have a motion on the table that has now been seconded. So our obligation is
can the person making the motion amend the motion?
I thought about that and chose not to. The motion has been made and seconded.
And can the motion be tabled for a vote at a future meeting? I apologize, my Robert's Rules of Order are not good.
I asked for the question. In other words, vote on it.
Yeah, I don't know the answer, Carolyn. I think the safest thing to do at this point would be to go ahead and have a vote on it, because we've had a motion that's been seconded, and if that fails, then we could, you know, make another motion. And if it passes, then we're where we need to be. But I think just for kind of housekeeping, I think it'd be better to go ahead and have the vote, given that there's been a motion and a second.
Thank you. And the question's been called, so that requires a vote.
All right, yes, thank you. So the motion on the table is to... motion is to approve compensation for the interim position that we have appointed Michelle Hughes to at a annual salary of $95,000, payable to her through the calendar year, retroactive. Well, you didn't say payable to her through the end of the calendar year. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed?
Aye.
Yay.
Thank you. Motion passes 3-2. All right. Anything else about the appointment of Michelle Hughes to the interim authority manager? Tom?
Michelle, congratulations.
Yes. Here,
we
here.
Have a,
thank you.
We have a great deal of confidence in you, and you've served the community well in the past, and I know you'll continue to serve well as this new position, and thank you for taking up.
Thank you very much.
Good
thank you, sir. Congratulations.
Thanks.
If you get any grayer, we'll know why.
It's
or
not,
I'll lose more hair.
Not possible.
All right, thank you all for your input on that. The last item on the agenda is authority manager search. As we decided at our last meeting, we are engaged with Prothman. Prothman is waiting for us on the editing of the text of the posting. You all have a copy of that. I will... you all have a copy of that and have been reviewing that in process. Also, we have asked for staff input on that, and we are collecting that data at this point. If I could have your responses back by next Tuesday, is that enough time for people to look at it, John and then Tom?
Yeah, I think a huge portion of how we move forward with this job description and choosing the authority manager is going to be determined by, or at least contingent on, understanding what's going to happen with this HR investigation. So I think we're jumping the gun here. I don't think we can get to that by Tuesday or next week. I think this has to wait until after we've had those conversations with Ryan Fleming and got our investigation going.
I hear what you're saying there. I have a question of you. The posting reflects information out of the job description and information about the community and information about the plant. So it seems that is, I don't see us making major changes to the job description. So I'm curious as to how you think that might impact the posting. I think it will greatly affect how we run interviews and how we respond to candidates and what we're asking of candidates. But I'm not sure that our HR assessment is going to actually reflect the data that goes out and the initial places that goes out to. Can you help me understand a little more about how you see that?
So give me a hypothetical timeline that you're talking about here.
Hypothetically, in my head, the posting would go to Prothman the end of April. They would, or mid-April, the end of April, they would have some more massaging to do, and then they start getting ready for their packets ready to go out in places that it's posted. And once it's posted, that posting process might take another month, And then the posting would be open for June and July and maybe close the end of July sometime on that type of schedule, and we would begin interviewing probably in August. And I think that would allow enough time for us to do our HR assessment. My concern in putting the posting off until the end of May is that we wouldn't be looking at interviewing until September or October, and then not finishing the hiring process until November, and by then, Michelle's on her way out, and we don't get what we need in terms of cross-training and orientation.
So, are we going to go back and use what Brockman gave us?
Cameron, let me finish with Sean, and then we'll get you into the conversation.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for you, Carolyn. I mean, I'm trying to rectify the authority manager job posting description with the scope of work for Proffman, which I indicated at the last meeting might need some tweaking. I'm just not there right now, so I need some more time with this. I don't know, what did you say, next week?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do my best to get you all that information by next week. I'm just not there. So.
Okay. Let me also speak with Proffman about a tentative schedule, just so that we can see how things get laid out and can coordinate our HR process with our search process so that we can get all of those pieces pulled together. Would that help?
Yeah, everything helps.
Okay. I'll work on that. Cameron and then Tom?
Yeah, are we gonna go by what we have of this?
Yes, the text that is there is what we're looking to edit. They will
on that, since we already have this document from Proffman, are we gonna be paying the same amount of money since a majority of this work has already been done?
They have given us a reduced fee for the process, because we have that piece, because they have the setup for that piece, they're not saving much time and money, because every search goes into the same kind of format. Does that make sense? So they will still have to make edits to it. And we wrote the original for the most part, and they will be putting in the edits.
So how much money are we spending on Proffman again?
I'd have to go back and look at the contract. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I can get you that information.
We haven't signed that yet?
Yes.
Or is that going to come up at the board meeting?
It already did, and it has been signed.
But we don't know how much we're paying them?
We do, but I don't have it in front of me.
This document, it said the proposal in 2019 that Brockman did for us, I didn't find it in here. I've only glanced at it briefly, but are they going to make an additional proposal like this document this time around?
I don't know exactly what that document is. I can't see it on the screen.
It says proposed 2019 documents, proposal to provide recruitment services for our authority manager.
Does that kind of define what they're going to do and what the definitions are? Is that the document?
Yes, that's perfect.
I would assume that we're going to get a document similar to that from Proffman as we start the process. I think we got that after the posting, or as the posting went up last time. Anyone correct me if I'm wrong on that?
Well, here it is. The fee for conducting a manager recruitment for a one-year guarantee is $16,500.
Okay, so we have a reduced fee from that on our current contract.
But you don't know what it is.
I need to look at the paperwork to quote it correctly, Tom. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, thank you.
Ann? That specific number, and again, if it's got a number in it, it doesn't stick in my head, but that specific number was discussed at the meeting where we made the decision as a board to proceed with the contract with Prothman. That contract has now been signed. So that amount of money, whatever it is already agreed upon.
I'd like to know what that number is.
I'm sure it will be in the minutes from the meeting last week, and those will be presented to you in the board packet for the April meeting. In the meantime, I'll see if I can't get Cameron and Tom that information.
I don't recall we even mentioning that number at all in our motion. I think we agreed to hire them again, but there was never a number mentioned. I mean, we all agreed we got to hire somebody, and they'd done a pretty fair job before, so we agreed to hire them, but I don't recall us saying whatever that number was. So whenever you can get that to us, it would be appreciated.
All right. Thank you, Tom. We will. The meeting minutes would be available on MP3 on the website as well, would they not?
Yes.
So you can go back and listen to the meeting.
Right. Any other questions about the authority manager search?
The only thing I'd like hard copies of stuff, the internet and paper. I'd like hard copies, if all possible.
Hard copies of what particular documents, Cameron?
What we've been talking about. I mean, I remember the signing. I don't remember us. I mean, I agree with Tom that we talked about hiring them, but I don't remember the amount that was that we had discussed. But if all possible, stuff that is sent out, email, and anything like that, I'd like hard copies of, please.
Sure, we'd be happy to.
And I can, I don't know, set up with Michelle, pick up time or where we can meet or whatever, or give me a call, like pick stuff up. I'd appreciate it.
I think we got you covered. Michelle's nodding.
Thank you.
Hard copies, and you got it.
I got it. Thank you.
Yeah. Right on. Thank you.
Anything else? All right, then I will report back to the board. Does the board want to hold another meeting to get that information, or if it's information going out, can we distribute that prior to the meeting?
Email works for me. If it's discounted, I want to know, you know, if they're going to give us a 10% or 20% or what.
Works for me.
All right. All right, then. It is 12:47, and we are adjourned. Thank you all for your time and for your comments. It's appreciated, and thank you again, Michelle.
Congrats.
Thank you again, Michelle.
Thank you. Have a nice day. Wear sunscreen.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye now.